In studio with us right now, it's Will Evans. If I say Deep Vellum Publishing, is that correct?
That's correct.
That's the...
And a bookstore.
And a bookstore.
Yes, in Deep Vellum.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. I saw this on the Soch Mead, just out there, that they were giving away copies of The Accommodation. And I contacted the source of the first social media post I saw, and she sent me over to you and said, this is the guy. This is why. Now, The Accommodation is a book by Jim Schutz, and we've had him on the show at least a couple times. There's a big argument here during the break whether it was two or three. But he's great. I read this book for the first time 10 years ago, and it blew my mind. What it is about... I just remember the South Dallas bombings of black people's homes, and it is kind of describing why is it that Dallas, you never hear of Dallas when you hear of civil rights battles. You hear of, you know, places in Alabama, you hear of other cities where things went down, Memphis, of course, but Dallas, oh, we didn't have any of that here. Everything was great in Dallas. Well, not really. And that's what this book really brings to light. I first saw it. This was out of print. A buddy of ours named TC, who used to work here for over a decade, found the PDF online and had like 10 or 40, I don't know. He had a bunch of copies through our printer printed and as actual books. And we all read it. And it's fascinating. And now you have somehow brought it back. And you're giving these away around the city of Dallas.
That's correct.
That was a pretty big intro for you, I think. But I kind of had to reset the whole story.
I think it's an amazing story. And what you just talked about is this idea that this book has had a life over the time it was out of print, unavailable. There were PDFs being passed around by individuals in town. I read it 10 years ago as well, right when I moved to Dallas. I took a class through D Magazine called D Academy, and that's the group that introduced me to the book. They said, oh, you're starting a publishing house in Dallas. You want to publish stories by writers that no one knows? That's really cool. You want to elevate underrepresented stories? You should publish The Accommodation. You're going to need to get in touch with Jim Schutz and John Wiley Price. And I was like, oh, wow, I've just moved here. You know what I mean? Let me read the book first. And when I read it, it was similarly really eye-opening. I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina, which is a city that, for those who don't know, had a racist... coup d'etat in 1898. They call it the only coup d'etat that ever happened in the history of America. And there's an amazing book about it called Wilmington's Lie that came out 2 years ago. It won the Pulitzer Prize. And it covers the history there. And so the thing is that history was totally buried in my hometown. And so when I learned about it, I was 14 years old and read like a newspaper article saying that black leaders in my hometown were rebuffed in the efforts at a memorial to it. And that was the first time I started to question, well, if the black leaders in town think something happened and the white leader said it didn't happen, what's the real version of history here? You know, who's telling the stories? And that led me very quickly to realize why we had Confederate memorials all over my hometown. And it wasn't just to commemorate the war dead, you know what I mean? And it led to a lifetime of seeking out those stories that sort of we weren't being told. And when I majored in history in college, it's always about trying to find those stories. And now that's what we do at Deep Vellum. We take stories that we think need to be heard and shared from writers from all over the world. Whether they're from foreign countries, we have writers from 90 countries on our list, as well as writers from all over Dallas and all over Texas. And it's our goal to bring those voices and the diversity of ideas from around the world to Dallas, and then to take the stories of Dallas out to the world as well. And The Accommodation is the single biggest publishing event in the history of the city. I mean, this book is so much more than a book, and the story of why it was out of print and everything is just so extraordinary.
Boy. Like you said, what's the real version of history here? That just feels like we're living in that. But I guess we've been living, you know, the nation has been living in that for quite some time on trying to figure out who writes history. Like the Tulsa, is it the Tulsa Massacre?
Mm-hmm.
I first learned about that because an HBO show came out and then I read an article. Like first, that's, and so I'm over 40 years old reading about that. And this stuff for sure, it's in this. And I just wrote down the Wilmington's Lie. I will certainly get that book. It sounds awesome. But, you know, you even mentioned the Confederate statues. Why are they put up? I just learned that.
Yeah.
Maybe in the last decade or so.
Right.
Because when there's all these battles going on, well, let me look into it. Let me do my own research, as some would say. And yeah, those a lot of those statues were erected in the early 1900s to just make black people know that maybe you shouldn't be so uppity. Because look, we are still in control, and we'll just put these, you know. It would almost be like erecting a statue of a Nazi in Germany, in a sense. Because that's...
And doing it 50 years later.
Yeah,
even
just
with
to
the
say...
time of reflection.
Yeah, I don't know. It's insane.
Something really interesting about this history, too, that we would know. I'm sure Jim told the story if he's been on air, so forgive me to listeners who already know it. But
no, we need to reset.
He gets invited... He's been invited for 35 years to speak to groups in Dallas about the accommodation and the story of it. And every white group in Dallas, usually do-gooder white folk, invite him out and they say, we had no idea. We had no idea Dallas had this history, this racist history. You know, this is what we call institutional racism. You hear about in the news. This is how it works. It's in the book. But then he goes to speak to black groups in Dallas and they say, Jim, we thought you were going to teach us something we didn't know. Black Americans knew the history of Wilmington. They knew the history of Tulsa. They knew the history of the accommodation. That's not new history. But this official version of history is something quite different than the real history that our neighbors know and experience quite differently than people who look like you and I. And that's what we sort of seek to do through publishing books that can help illuminate some of these dark corners of our history, of our world, but using not just nonfiction, but poetry and fiction and everything else.
What I find weird is the fear of it. Because I love learning stuff like this. It doesn't affect, you know, I still like Dallas. I like it a lot. I want to live here. I want to raise kids here, all that kind of stuff. It's not like I'm going to run away from Dallas because it has a racist history, but let's just, you know, it might help with some, understanding about, you know, how certain people view certain people.
Yeah, you know how that is. I mean, people just start to feel threatened and they start to feel guilty. And rather than confront that guilt head on, you just put your head in the sand. I mean, I think that's a common thing throughout history, right? You may not do that, but I think a lot of people do. You just don't want to interface with it. I just think the story of how this even... So you said 10 years ago you joined the DMAG group and people were telling you about this book. Have you actually been working on it and thinking about it since then? Because you can give a refresher, a thumbnail on the backstory, if you want, of how the John Wiley Price and Jim Schutz relationship became tattered and it resulted in this book being out of print for 3 decades.
Yeah, if you start where I picked up, I think Jim talks a lot in these public events we've done over the course of the year. We published a hardcover version of this book in September of last year, with support from Communities Foundation and Amazon and D Magazine and 50 other community partners. We brought it out now in this paperback edition that I have in front of you, and that's the one that we're giving away through a program called Big D Reads. And that is a citywide book club. So there's events all through the month of September. If you go to bigdreads.org and check it out, there's events literally every day, and we're giving out 30,000 copies of the book to those who need it, ideally students and people who wouldn't be buying it otherwise, right? That's like who we're trying to get the books in the hands of. And it's been amazing to find so many community partners who are so hungry for this book because it's the beginning of so many important conversations. And the book asks more questions than it answers. And that's a great book because it leads to great discussions. And then at Deep Vellum, of course, we hope that some of these discussions can lead to great books down the line as well. And when I read it 10 years ago at D Magazine, I didn't know about the book until literally someone handed me the PDF. They emailed me the PDF. I printed it out and I read it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I need to be able to grow into being a publisher that could do this book, right? You don't just call. The story had gone, and this is the backstory. And this story was that Jim was writing the book while he worked at the Dallas Times Herald, and he had been commissioned by a local publisher at Taylor Publishing, who had someone there like me who was interested in local stories at the time said, Jim, you should write a book about this thing you wrote a column about, like why Dallas didn't have a civil rights movement that you mentioned. And so that was sort of Jim's launching point. As he started doing research in the public library, in the archives of the 7th floor at the downtown Johnson Main Library, he stumbled on a much deeper and horrific story about these campaigns of bombings in South Dallas that were being led out of white churches in North Dallas and land grabs by white developers that were like illegally taking land from black families throughout the city. And he found that sort of the story of the Dallas way, this idea that we all chip in together and we build a better city for the betterment of all of Dallas, but a very top-down approach. He found that there was some rot in that and that the story wasn't totally true. So as he's writing it, though, the book is written pretty fast, and they send it off to print. And someone found out that in the powers that be that the book was going to print, and they called the printer, and they said, if you print this book, we're going to shut you down. And the printer said, we're not going to print it. And they called the publisher, and they said, if you publish this book, we're going to shut you down. And the publisher said, great, we're not going to publish it. And the book was killed before it was published. It was pulled off of the presses. Money had been spent. The thing was being printed. Book was killed. That's old-fashioned censorship. And that happened right here in Dallas, Texas. And Jim knows exactly the person who made that call, because they told them. They told him that year. Said, I'm really proud of what I did killing that book. And
this is the 80s.
This is the 80s. This is 86, 80. This is 1986.
This is not the 50s when, you know, some of these things you're like, that's so long ago. It's okay.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, man. Like, it's yesterday in the grand scheme of things. But the powers that be that did that, I mean, these are members of the Dallas Citizens Council. And if you've read the book, you know that the Citizens Council had a hand in all of the action that is a part of the book. And this idea of the Dallas Way was led by the Citizens Council at the time. And Jim was featured in a New York Times article in 1986, back when they used to have actual New York Times offices around the country. Mm-hmm. Someone was writing about Dallas, and they wrote an article, and it says, Dallas Book Stirs Royals Racial Tensions. It's a headline, and Jim's picture's there, and it says that this book was supposed to come out, and it got killed because the business leaders in town thought that it was telling a history that they didn't want told, which is the whole point of Jim's book. And some enterprising publisher in New Jersey who loved controversial stories picked it up. They printed 5,000 copies of the hardcover. Of course, had a hard time selling it outside of Dallas. They ended up sending most of the copies to a black-owned bookstore in town called Black Images, led by the amazing Miss Emma Rogers, and got there. And, you know, for the first and only time in the history of that bookstore, their warehouse burned after the books arrived. Mm. And so most of the copies of that hardcover, the accommodation, disappeared, which is why it then became this valuable, precious commodity. It's worth thousands of dollars online, you'll see these days.
And is that thought to be a coincidence, the burning down of the...
You know, I always like to just say the facts of the story, because the facts are insane, and you can deduct your own what happened next.
Okay, but this book had been killed a couple times already.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden happens to...
And then
the bookstore burns down. The book,
not the bookstore, but they're like warehouse, you know.
Okay.
And an amazing bookstore stayed open for a long time, closed before I moved to Dallas, unfortunately. But at the end of the book, though, you know, John Wiley Price is a character here at the end of the book. And in the '80s, he was the hot young politician in town, and he and Jim knew each other very well. They both loved to stick it in the eye of the powers that be in town. And at some point, Jim and John worked out a deal that John said he would get the book republished, that he could do it. And for whatever reason, the book was not republished. And then you sort of fast forward through time. And over the years, people did keep reading the book and pass it around in small circles of, you know, mostly what we would call like do-gooder groups in town and social justice groups in town. And in the early 2010s, there was a huge exodus of young people to Dallas. And they were coming here. And like, these are people like me, and like seeking to learn more about the city that we call home, and like why the city is the way that it is. And everyone clued in on the accommodation, and I know the person who went and scanned the book at the library, because you couldn't check it out. The only copy they had was a non-circulating copy in the archives, and they scanned the whole book and they passed it around. And I know that's copyright infringement on my own book, but it was also an act of public service that got this book read around town. It was a really vital thing to keep this discussion going. And then you fast forward through time, and during the protests after the murder of George Floyd, Commissioner Price and I sort of worked out a deal to published the book, and then I worked out a deal with Jim Schutz as well, so that we're in agreement. But those two individuals hadn't talked in 20 years by the time I showed up, you know, on the scene. And so I wanted to make sure they were both in agreement. And the goal, I told him, was that we didn't just want to publish the book. We wanted to give away copies, that we would reinvent this Big D Reads program that actually D Magazine had founded 11 years ago.
Wow. And how can you afford to do that?
So if you look on the first page of the book, or if you go to bigdreads.org and look at all the community partners,
oh, I see.
How could we afford to give away 30,000 copies of a book for free? The answers are right there in beautiful ways. Amazon really came on board as a great sponsor. Dallas Foundation, the Dallas Mavericks are a part of it, our neighbors down here in studio. And it was it took a true community effort to raise enough money to print that many copies, and to not just print that many copies, but to give away that many copies. You don't just give away 30,000. You have to go to people who give them to the people who need them. So we have so many institutions and organizations that are willing to step out and give the books away to the people who need them most. And the Dallas Public Library is a vital partner in that, because they have the one main location downtown and 29 branches throughout the city. They're in every neighborhood of the city, and we're giving out the books through every single branch of the library.
This is Will Evans from Deep Vellum Publishing, given out the book, The Accommodation. It's fantastic. Let me ask you this. You say you want to get this book in the hands of students. And we happen to live in a couple of suburbs that are right now, they seem to be taking books out of the hands of students more than just allowing them to read whatever they want. How do you, you know, is there a way even to get this on school lists? And are you trying to do that?
You know, we're trying through various channels, but adding books to curricula at public schools is one of the hardest things you could ever do. You know, it's it goes through so many loopholes. You know how you get the books in the hands of people is you talk to librarians, you know, and I think that this is a book that we're not trying to sneak into any kind of curriculum, and we're not looking for a CRT fight with the politicians that be. But what we're looking to do is to get people to read this of all ages and to ask those questions that the book does. And so we've worked really closely with public libraries as well as school libraries throughout the county. And it's been an amazing effort because the librarians here are the ones who really do work with the kids hands-on, day-to-day. And I say kids, but it also goes for the universities in the county that do such great work. And they've all been wonderful partners, willing to give away copies of the books. And the students, I don't know about you, but I was one who never really liked what the teachers were teaching me. That was like every one of my least favorite books. But all the reading I did extracurricular was what changed my life. And this book is a perfect extracurricular activity and something that should be joined in conversation as much as possible, which is why we're doing all these public events throughout the whole month of September, but ongoing. We've been doing events for a full year now about the book, and we're going to keep going beyond just the month of Big D Reads.
All right, so it's bigdreads.org. You can find out how you can get yourself a book. We also have a box of them, so thanks to you for helping us get that, and we're going to give those away in some way. We just aren't sure how just yet. Maybe we'll just keep them all and just read them all, read them over and over. But would you like to hang out? We're going to do a segment called the 1:30 News. We're inviting you to just hang out if you want to, or you can pack your things up and leave. But we do want to thank you for being here for sure, and for getting this book published. This is something
very cool.
We've talked about for years. Wondering, how come it's not? Why can't they? So, you know, TC could only afford to do 20 or 40, not 30,000. So, yeah.
And so we still have
thanks.
Yeah, we still have the hardcovers for sale at our bookstore and everywhere around town. You go to Pan African Connection in Oak Cliff or in Terrabang Books or Wild Detectives, Deep Vellum, Who's Books, they all have it in stock.
Hey, how do you get the audiobook?
Oh, yeah, in the audiobook.
Because Mike Reiner voices it. Do you know Mike at all?
I do know Mike. I've gotten to know him quite well through all this. So,
okay, yeah, we know him very well.
Yes.
As he invented this station.
You can go anywhere audiobooks are sold. So whether it's Audible or Libro.fm, which is a way to listen to audiobooks to support independent bookstores. Or you can go to deepvellum.org and order it directly from our website. We also have ebooks available everywhere they're sold. And we have hardcovers available out there. And then these paperback copies being given away. So thank you.
All right, that's Will Evans, bigdreads.org.